Good morning. Top of the morning to you. How are you? How are you feeling? I hope all is well. I'm sending you much love, peace, and all the blessings that this day holds for you. May you openly and excitedly receive your blessings for today. Won't you join me in prayer? Loving God, we come before you this morning just as we are. You know the heart posture of your children who are listening today, oh God, from all around the globe. Search each heart, oh God. Attend to the heart cry of your children, oh God. And I ask that you mend broken hearts, heal wounds, oh God. Administer to those, oh God, your healing power for those who are feeling wounded and hurt this morning, oh God. I just pray right now that you'll pour your peace and your comfort into those wounded places of your children's hearts. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak a word through me to your daughters and your sons. A word that will bring about radical change for the good. Let your will be done, O God. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A pleasant good morning again to you, wherever you are listening from. This is Dr. Leonie Matheson from beautiful Santa Barbara, California. If you're new to my podcast, morning devotional podcast, whatever we call it these days, I'd just like to say thank you so much for tuning in. And to my regular listeners, thank you for your support. I appreciate you. And may the Lord bless each and every one of your hearts today. I love you with the love of God. So as I shared in our first installment, which has been two installments already from this series that I've been called into to teach. Not sure what God is up to, but I've made a decision to just surrender. I want to share a story with you before I jump into. I am still in Nehemiah 1. I got a little bit more revelation after our session yesterday, and I've been meditating on some things and wanted to share my heart with you. About a month ago, a friend of mine transitioned, and when I heard about what happened to her, I was destroyed. I remember pacing the floor many nights, couldn't sleep. I mean, literally, I was up sitting in the bed with more questions than I had answers. I remember one morning I didn't fall asleep until around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up for work around 6. And over time, I realized that my soul was becoming so weary, and my faith was also dwindling down a bit. So one day, I went to one of my favorite spots, and I was sitting outside and just strolling through my phone. Can't remember what I was reading specifically. But then, out of nowhere, this bird fell beside me. I was shocked because I've never seen really a bird up close and personal. When I was living in Jamaica, I remember seeing parakeets, but that was just about it. I see the birds flying around here, but not up close and personal, you know, to where the bird was literally lying beside me. And so, without knowledge, I pick up the bird, and if you follow me on social media, the post is there. I picked up the bird and held the bird in my hands, and the bird was just panting so hard. It's almost like it was coming from a far place, and the bird just was just, he or she, I don't know, somebody said it's a female, looked at me and stared at me and panted. It was almost like the bird was saying something to me, but I couldn't understand what it was. And I kept saying, little bird, you're going to be okay. And I'm talking to the bird. And the bird passed away in my hands. I didn't understand what all that meant. And so I posted it on social media. And a couple of people reached out and said, do you realize you had a female cardinal bird in your hands? I said, I don't even know what that is. No. And so, of course, what we naturally do is go to Google, and I Googled it, and there I read that a cardinal will usually visit someone whenever a loved one has transitioned. And I guess it's their way of, I don't know, sending us a message or something. But in that moment, what I realized was that I was battling with survivor's grief. I was. And I felt like when the bird passed away in my hands, there was nothing I could do. Because I was beating up on myself, saying, what else could I have done for her? I said, Lori, did I reach her? I know we talked all the time. You know, I was just beating up on myself. But something I realized happened after I had this conversation with God, and I cried and I questioned things and I prayed. I realized I went back to Nehemiah chapter 1. And I kept asking God, what do you want me to learn from this scripture? You're not giving me the okay to move on to chapter 2. What is it that you want us to learn, God? Excuse me. And here's what I heard from the Lord for us. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be upset and disappointed. It's okay. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning. It's okay. So much has happened over the last 15, 18 months. Unplanned events. And I think for some people who have, especially those of us who have the superhero complex, who likes to fix everything and like to know everything and like to help everyone, you know, there's so many needs that you're probably feeling so overwhelmed and feeling a little bit like you're not doing your part. Because sometimes I feel that way, like, oh my God, am I doing enough? And then I have to stop myself and said, you know, I speak to myself and I'll say something like, Leonie, it's enough. Your very presence in certain atmosphere is enough. And let that be enough. But I want to go back to Nehemiah chapter 1. And let me recap a little bit about what we shared yesterday. Nehemiah, in the very last, I noticed something in the very last verse, the end of verse 11, he specifically told us where he was, what he was doing. So he was the king's cupbearer. And he's serving in this foreign land, serving a foreign king. And while serving, if you remember, we talk about how he was told that the walls of the city of Jerusalem was torn down. They were torn down. Now, what does the walls represent? The walls represent, it's a spiritual, I wrote it down here, that the walls represent it's like a spiritual place for the Jews. And so this spiritual place that probably once was thriving and booming was now in ruins. And I think for some of you, that's perhaps how you're feeling. Maybe at one point you were on fire for the Lord. You were securing your faith walk. And then COVID-19 hit. And you feel like you've gone through a spiritual ruin. Like your spiritual walls have been torn down. That faith that you once had, the hope that you once had, it's like it's torn down. I remember one of my readers reached out to me a couple weeks ago and she said, I can't even pray. She said, I can't pray. I'm having a difficult time praying. And all I could say, I understand. And God understands. So if even just saying that to him, help me, God, I'm having a difficult time praying. I'm having a difficult time believing that you're a sovereign God, that you're omnipresent. Are you telling me that you're sitting around watching this? And God, you're not moving the way I expect you to move. And so there is this sense of disappointment in your relationship with God. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to grieve. And so Nehemiah heard that the spiritual place was torn down. And to put things into perspective, Nehemiah is about to approach a long-standing problem. Because the truth of the matter is, the walls weren't torn down the day or 2 days before Nehemiah heard of what was going on in Jerusalem. There's a lot going on over the years. But what stuck out to me was that he's having this conversation with Ananiah, one of his brothers, who came to visit him. But something about the news hit him differently. And not only did it hit him differently, it forced him into action. My brothers and my sisters, you can't choose when life will knock you down, but you can choose that you will be intentional about getting back up. And this is what I sense from reading, what I understand from reading Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah went straight to God after he heard the news. Why? Because he had a passion and a heart for souls, for the people of God. And the question that I keep asking myself, and I know many of you are asking yourselves this question as we are transitioning and navigating beyond COVID-19, perhaps you found yourself asking the question of, Lord, how do I care for the heart of the people I'm called to serve? Where do I go to find hope as I walk through and lead others through these difficult seasons? One of the things I learned a couple years ago is that you can't give what you ain't got. You can't give it. Because if you try, you're going to be very deficient in one area to the point of bleeding out on others. It is time, I believe, for us to grieve what we've lost, to grieve our disappointments, to face the struggles and the battles that we have been fighting over the last couple months, to cry over the loved ones that have passed on, cry over the condition of our communities, cry for those loved ones who are going through all kinds of illnesses. It's okay. And so let's take a look at Nehemiah's response when he heard the news of what was happening in Jerusalem. The first thing, like I said, he did, he went straight to God, to the source. Why? Because he was in tune with his pain and his grief. He knew he could not handle, one, what he had heard, and number two, he didn't know what to do with the information that he received. And I think oftentimes when we're in a position of leadership or, we're decision makers and situations come to, are brought to our attention. I know for me, one of the things I used to do in the past was I quickly reacted. I was very reactive. But as I matured in my leadership, I've learned to take the data, but assess it. Go before the Lord and say, God, this is it. These are your children. How do you want me to handle what I've just heard? What do you want me to do with anything? Because sometimes God does not want us to do anything. Believe me when I tell you that. There are moments when God just wants you to be on the observing side of things so you can listen to learn. And then there are moments when God will impress upon your heart that it's time to take action. And so Nehemiah went straight to the Lord. He was in tune with how he was feeling. He was in pain. He was in deep pain. In fact, the Bible said that he sat down and he wept. That is my encouragement to someone this morning. Take some time today to think about how everything that you've been through, how it's truly impacted your soul. And just bring it before the Lord. Be transparent. Be honest. God, this is it. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I thought you would have, by now you would have done something about this. God, I don't understand why you allow this to happen. All those questions that we bounce back and share with our friends, I think it's time for us to take them to the Lord in prayer. And so that was what Nehemiah did. He cried. He wept. He mourned. He mourned the loss of this spiritual place for the Jews. Perhaps he was wondering, how are they able to worship God? You know, maybe he was asking himself the question of, what's the condition of their soul posture? How are they really doing? He was very concerned. The second thing I would like to encourage us to do that Nehemiah did, he put a pause break on eating food. And he fasted. And as we know in the faith-based community, fasting for us is staying away from food, turning our plates down, and we pray and we seek God for clarity, for direction, for favor. We're very intentional when we go into fasting. I know sometimes people will say to me, especially the younger people say, you know, Dr. Lee, I fast social media. I think that's great. That's a great way to, you know, eliminate distractions. However, part of our Christian-based spiritual practice around fasting really involves staying away from food and opening our Bibles, reading the Word of God, praying and meditating on the Word. And so we see here, we read in the scripture where Nehemiah, which is Nehemiah 1 verse 4, he sat down, he mourned, he fasted, and then he prayed. He prayed, and the prayer that he prayed, there were four things I picked out of that prayer, which is very similar to the Lord's Prayer. Number one, he prayed a prayer of confession. He confessed his sins and then the sins of his ancestors, his family's sin. Sometimes we do have to go to God with that sense of humility and say, God, you know, I confess that I have also sinned against you. I've not always done the things that you've asked me to do. I'm guilty, God. And then, Lord, my family is also guilty. My community is also guilty. You know, and just be open and raw. Empty out those things that's on your heart. And he did that. He prayed a prayer of confession. Number two, I love this. And I encourage us to do this as often as we can. He reminded God of his promises. There's so many promises in the Word of God. And I love that Nehemiah was able to remind God, you know, after he made the confession, he said, Lord, remember what you told your servant Moses. And we talked about that yesterday. There were specific instructions given to the Jews what to do and what not to do. But then God made a promise that when we follow him, right? If we return to him and obey his commands and live by them, then even if we're exiled to the ends of the earth, that God would bring us back to the place he has chosen for us to honor his name. So even as we're going through the COVID-19 pandemic, I want to encourage you, you don't have to overdo it. You just have to be paying attention to what God wants you to do. And I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I kept reading the scripture, if my people who are called by my name, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, I'm going to hear from heaven, I'm going to heal your land. And last night as I was studying this, I hear the Lord saying, we have not because we ask not. What is it that you need to ask God for? You need to ask. I hear God saying, you need to ask me. As I was going through the COVID-19 pandemic, there's a lot of things that became very clear to me. There's a lot of things I wouldn't pray for. I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people have talked about how, you know, you're single, you've been single for so long, you're going to get married soon. And to be very transparent, I really don't pray about marriage very often. I don't. And I found myself being a little bit hypocritical about it because others were praying for me, but I wasn't putting in any effort at all into it. I'm being totally honest. I would do a vision board and get excited about it, but then I just don't pay any attention to it. There are things that I want from God that I prefer. I would rather pray for others. And last time the Lord convicted me and he said, you have not because you ask not. What is it that you truly, in the depth of your soul, want from God? It's time to put away the fear and the intimidation and just ask him. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Ask God for what you want. The next thing we see in Nehemiah's prayer, he asks God for success. Let's read on. In Nehemiah 1, after he confessed to God, after he reminded God about his promises, he then said, Lord, please grant me success. That's in Nehemiah 1 and verse 11. He says, please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. So he asked God for success and favor. He wanted when he go to the king, because he had to go to the king and let the king know, look, I got to go down to Jerusalem. I've got to go, you know, fulfill an assignment. And so he was saying, God, when I go to the king and make my petition known to the king, please grant me favor with the king. Maybe for you, it's, you know, you're getting ready to step into an interview. And, you know, I am a young lady that I know is getting ready to interview. And I believe it's time for her to cross over to a six-figure salary. And I know it feels odd to her, but for what they're asking her to do, I'm like, no, you need to be making more money. It's time to, you know, put away the feeling of unworthiness and just step into what God has called you to do. Because it's more than just the salary. It's about how will you be a good steward of that finances? How will you help to reach those who need hope? How will you use your resources for the building up of the kingdom of God? And so if you're listening and, you know, you're getting ready to, you know, maybe go into a meeting or getting ready as a child who is petitioning, reaching out to his or her daddy and asking of your father for what you need. The last thing I want to share with you that also was impressed upon my heart this morning, God wants us to be vulnerable with him and with one another. And that part kind of hit me a little bit. I'm guilty. I'm not always vulnerable. I think I'm more vulnerable in the workplace than I am in my personal life. But this morning I hear God says, you need to be more vulnerable. This is a time for us to let our hearts be opened to the care of others. Meaning, if you're giving out a lot, I hear the Lord said, it's time for you to also receive. Allow others to pour into you. Allow others to love you the way you know you want to be loved. I love the results that I have seen from taking the five love languages test, for example. That has opened my eyes in so many ways when I first took that test. Because what it revealed to me was how I prefer to be loved and how I, in turn, show my love to others. And so that has helped to eliminate the need of over-expectation, for example, right? That has helped me to be able to speak up for what I need and want, and also to be so receptive and open to understanding how others, you know, prefer to be loved, to be cared for. And so as you're transitioning or navigating through and beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, I pray that you will truly focus on what's in front of you. My prayer is that we will transition as a totally new set of individuals, new people. Open heart to give and receive love, to know that it's okay to be transparent and to be vulnerable. And yeah, you are putting yourself out there, because then that means there's a risk that you will get hurt. But there's this quote that I read many years ago. I would prefer to have love and loss than to have never loved, experienced love at all. It's a time for us to love, to pour out more love. I'm speaking to myself because I'm saying those are some of the weak areas for me, because trust is an issue. But I'm willing to try. I'm willing to, as Paul says, forget those things which are behind and to really focus on what's in front of me, what God has placed in front of me, and to reach forward to pull in what God has placed in front of me to pull into my life. I pray that something that was said today bless your heart. Know that it's okay to be vulnerable with God and to be vulnerable with one another. So if you're feeling hurt, if you're hurting and you're feeling a deep sense of pain, find somebody and talk to them. Pour your heart out. Talk to someone. Maybe a therapist, a counselor, a coach, a mentor. Talk to someone. It's time to get rid of the burden and the yoke. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy, his burden is light. So if you're feeling stressed out and you're feeling very overburdened, that means you are carrying something that God is supposed to be carrying. You've taken on the responsibility of your Father. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep you. And just remind you of how much you are loved. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you again. I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to us, your children. Let your will be done in our lives today. Bless our hearts, O God. Protect us. Continue to heal our country. Continue to grant your leaders wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for favor today, Lord. Thank you for the love that surrounds us. May we feel it. May we embrace it. And for that, we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Enjoy this music. I'm going to let it play for a little bit. Enjoy it.